We welcome in Chad Finn of the Boston Globe at Boston.com. Hello there, Chad.
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How's your Monday going?
It's going well. I got the Marshwood Wells girls lacrosse scrimmage going on behind me. It's a nice day out. I hear some whistles in the background, so no complaints.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we had a fun opening to the baseball season for the Red Sox, starting it big with Sox-Yankees. I thought it was a very enjoyable series overall.
It was. I don't think we'd be saying that if Jake Diekman didn't come in last night and strike out Judd Stanton and Joey Gallo to get the Red Sox their first win of the season, lock it down. But, yeah, it seems to be that there's quite a bit to be encouraged about. You know, they've been really hitting that series. You know they will. The bigger concern is pitching, and I think you came out of that feeling pretty good about at least some of the guys in the bullpen in particular. There's a lot of new names in there. There's 15 pitchers on the roster right now, and seems like roles are still being sorted out, but you have to be encouraged by Diekman. Matt Strom looks like somebody who can help. A couple of long-haired lefties there, and Cutter Crawford. Cora's talking about Cutter Crawford like you talked about Garrett Whitlock last year as a multi-inning reliever who you can trust against the bigger hitters in the opposing lineup. So I think they feel pretty good about that. They still got some kinks to work out there, obviously, with Matt Barnes and some of the rotation stuff we'll still see. But I think even with a 1-2 record, you feel pretty good about what this team is going to look like.
Yeah, 0.69 ERA for that bullpen out of the gate. And you mentioned some of those guys, and it's what Heim Bloom did in Tampa Bay. He brought in guys that maybe you don't know the names, but a lot of them had some level of major league experience and a little success along the way. And it seems to work. It certainly worked in Tampa Bay. It worked for the Red Sox last year. And if this is any indication, when they get Matt Barnes back, they ought to be fairly deep in there.
Yeah, he just needs to get that 6 or 7 miles per hour back on the velocity. You know, get healthy. You know, not feeling great right now, but yeah, that's obviously going to be an important guy. He was so great in the first half last year, so fell apart so suddenly in the second half. But you know, we've seen him for a long time. We know his track record is pretty good, and that he can get big outs in big situations. So they'll be patient with him. I'm actually interested to see Michael Wacha tonight, because you know, you talked about Heim Bloom and the Rays finding pitching in all sorts of places. Well, Heim did that last year with the Red Sox, with Whitlock's 5 pick, and you know, Sara Mura, who has had a pretty good year overall, but more so in the first half, but a guy who can be an important piece. And they have a knack for finding Bloom and the Rays in particular have a knack for finding pitchers situations from all over field farm system, so on and so forth. And Wacha is a guy who's been horrible for a couple of years, but they saw something in him that they liked last year with a change in his repertoire that they think is going to translate to the season. And I'm curious to see if there's something there, because this is a guy who in the 2013 World Series, when the Cardinals played the Red Sox, everybody was talking about him as the next Adam Wainwright, and his career didn't go down that path, but he's a guy who did have some success, and if he can recapture a little bit of his, you know, his early stuff and get reinvigorated here in Boston, they might have something there. So I'm really curious to see how he fares at this first couple of starts.
Now, I seem to recall that when you were on a couple of weeks ago and you talked about the coming season, I believe one of the guys you mentioned that you thought could step it up this year was Alex Verdugo, and he looked awfully good this weekend.
I don't remember anything I say earlier in the day before I come on with you, let alone what I said a few weeks ago. So I appreciate you bringing that up, because there's no way I would remember it. But he's somebody who needs to step up. He's a talented player, and his statistics are pretty modest. He had 13 home runs last year. He basically has given the Red Sox what Andrew Benintendi gave them, to the point where they decided Andrew Benintendi wasn't going to pan out to the way they wanted and traded for the Royals. So Verdugo needs to be better than he was last year. The talent is there. He's certainly a confident player. He's improved defensively. He's a better left fielder than he was when he first got here. Thing with him is, he, you know, sometimes he gets in these ruts, like Mike Greenwell 1990, where he suddenly just starts going 4-3 all the time and hitting ground balls and not putting the ball in the air. He needs to get out of that mode. He hasn't been in it so far this year. The Red Sox think highly of him, and this is a guy who's capable of 20 to 25 home runs and a 300 average. If he takes a step up to that level of hitter, lineup's even better than it already is.
I'm not sold on this right field combo of Jackie Bradley Jr. and Christian Arroyo. Is there some help out there? Can they get Michael Conforto signed?
Yeah, Michael Kimmel, he's got the shoulder thing that Scott Boras kept under wraps for a while, which I don't know if it's an excuse for why he hasn't signed or the reason why he hasn't signed, but he's not ready to go anyway. So he seemed to me like a guy who'd be a really good fit here, a good offensive player with still some room for upside, but not healthy right now. So I guess that's partially why he's a free agent. Probably the demands given who his agents are also are part of it, but yeah, I'm not with you on that either. You know, Jackie Bradley, probably I think most people think he's the best defensive center fielder the Red Sox have had since they've been watching him. I feel that way. And right field is certainly expansive, and you need a great glove out there. You know, Shane Victorino, Mookie Betts, going back away, you know, to semis and eighties with Dwight Evans. But he's not quite the defensive outfielder he was, and he was a worse hitter in the major league last season, so he has a lot to prove. We know Heim Bloom, the season he starts the team he starts the season with isn't going to be the one that they have at the All-Star break. It's right. Not going to be the one they have at the end of the year. He's going to make changes, and if you look at this roster right now, the blinking red light is right field. That's a spot where it looks like they need to get at least a league average bat out there who can play pretty well defensively, and there are guys like that will become available. So I imagine what we're seeing out there right now is not what we're going to see out there in May, June, July, certainly September, October, if they're lucky enough to get there.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Did you watch any of the K-Rod cast last night?
I did not, no. I taped it because I've been working on something else for work, so I didn't have to write about it, and I figured if I don't have to write about it, then I'm not going to watch it. Because <So, laughs> I have a pretty good sense for what it's going to be like. So I watched the regular broadcast, and I like those guys. You know, Ravitch he's kind of like Steve Levy on football.
Yeah.
I think of him as a sports center anchor first, and he's not kind of your quintessential voice, but he's good at it. And Eduardo Perez, he's familiar by now. He's part of the StatCast broadcast and some of their weekday broadcasts. He's very good. And David Cohn's terrific. Really like him. You know, I've heard him a little bit with FAN, what's the Yankeeography? The Yankee TV station down there. Yes Network.
Yes, yeah.
I've heard him a little bit on that and knew he was good, but he was really good right away in the booth and had good chemistry with Ravitch and Perez. So I think they're going to be a really unobtrusive, enjoyable booth, and that's a vast improvement over what they had before.
And you mentioned this last time you were on, and they announced it over the weekend that Sean McDonough will indeed be doing some Red Sox games, and it sounds like, again, he gets to cherry-pick the ones he wants to do.
Yeah, about 35 to 40, that's what WI told me, and yep, it's cherry-picking is the word. He kind of takes the ones he wants, depending on, you know, his schedule, how much golf he's playing himself, and he's obviously got hockey now, so that's something he didn't have in you know, last year with ESPN getting the hockey broadcast. But yeah, you'll hear him on the Yankees games and probably the Astros games and some of the bigger interleague matchups. And otherwise, it's going to be Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming, and Maloney once in a while. So pretty familiar group there from the last couple of years. No more Mario Impembo one week and you know, the Josh Lewin and cycling people in and out like they did 3 or 4 years ago. That was terrible.
Did the Celtics do the right thing in getting that number two spot? Should they have tanked and gone for 3 or 4?
They fear no one, right? Come on, you know that. I like it. I mean, it's a tougher path early, but you got to play everybody right and beat them anyway. And I think people are overestimating the Nets a little bit, but for obvious reasons. They have two amazing players, especially Kevin Durant can do whatever he wants. He's capable of dropping 60 on you on a given playoff night and changing the entire tenor of a series. But this isn't the Nets from last year. They have no depth. They're playing a bunch of guys who they probably should not be playing with. LaMarcus Aldridge, Joe Harris was hurt. Curry's out there playing on a bad ankle, Lester Curry. So this is an atrocious defensive team that gives up about 120 points a game. The Celtics aren't going to have a hard time scoring. And we've seen how the Celtics play defense. Even without Robert Williams in the first round, this is still going to be a lockdown defensive team and should fear the Nets because they have two great players and you know, one of the shooting tall guy of all time and the most obnoxious point guard of all time. And yet, there's really nothing else around them. So I think you should feel pretty good about where the Celtics are.
So is your daughter playing this afternoon? Is that why you're there?
Yes. Yep. Little scrimmage action here. Out here shoving around Marshwood kids playing defense. So her favorite sport, lacrosse. It's the one that stuck with her the most.
I've always said too, if you wanted to make some decent money on a side hustle, become a lacrosse official, because there aren't enough of them out there and not many people know the rules, so fewer people on the sidelines whine and complain when you make a call.
No, from what I hear down here, they're all just yelling for, the fans are yelling to call shoves and any contact, because it's not really allowed in girls' sports, although my daughter's team doesn't seem to know that. But you are absolutely right. Nobody knows their rules, so they just complain about what they want to complain about on the sideline. Be probably pretty easy to go for a ref, I'd think.
I would hope so. Well, enjoy the game. Thanks, as always, for joining us, Chad, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Sure, I'll call in with updates later and file my game story around 7.
Looking forward to it. Fantastic. Thanks, Chad.
You're right.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us on Downtown.